It's a statistical anomaly for social scientists. It's a national embarrassment for every American. It's a daily struggle for classroom teachers. A study by the Southern Education Foundation says that because of economic and demographic trends, for the first time in at least 50 years, more than half of all U.S. public school students come from low-income families. Now, we shouldn't need such a statistic to construct a headline about public education and poverty that is a daily reality for so many teachers. So we have a pair of teachers here with us. Joy DePalm, how many of your students would you say fall into this category of being in poverty?
I would say anywhere from 25 to 30%.
And what does that mean to your day-to-day classroom operations?
I feel like they need to feel like they're in a safe space. I also make sure that I take into account, even when I give homework assignments, I don't hit them with homework assignments in large amounts at the beginning of the week because I don't know what they're coming off of from the weekend.
Larry Ferlazzo, does that sound familiar to you?
Yes. I mean, our school is 100% free lunch, and there are a lot of challenges that brings to the classroom.
And in your case, it's a majority who are in poverty, right?
Yes. Yes, that is indeed the case here at our school.
And your school is in Sacramento, California?
Yes, Sacramento.
And Joy, you're in Boston, Massachusetts?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Larry, would you say that the proliferation of students who are in poverty in the classroom transforms the school into a social service agency as well as an educational facility?
Yeah, well, yes, certainly as a major institution in our students' lives and their students having so many needs, that's one of the things that we have to act as.
Is that a welcome responsibility or does that get in the way of education?
I think it's just the reality. I mean, I think two things that we teachers have to keep in mind in that situation are, you know, one, the fact that so many researchers have found that teachers anywhere can only impact 10 to 30% of factors that influence academic performance. And we just have to be aware that our students' outside experience affect what's happening in the classroom. And researchers have found that we all have what's called sort of the brain's bandwidth, that when we concentrate on one thing, we can't pay as much attention to others. And when you're not sure if your family is going to get evicted or if, you know, you walk to school and it's raining and your parents can't afford gas money to bring dry clothes to you back at school, that's going to affect how students are in the classroom.
We're talking to Larry Ferlazzo, who's a teacher in Sacramento, California. Joy DePalm is in Boston, Massachusetts. Larry was talking about awareness on the part of teachers of the social condition of students in the school. How aware, since your classroom is integrated, how aware are the middle-class students of the social conditions of the 20% that you spoke about earlier, Joy?
I don't think they have a clue unless they actually have a relationship with a particular student. Particularly this year, how they interact with each other is really on a surface level. When they become really close, it's about that time of the year when it starts to happen, students start to share their stories about, you know, what they've gone through and what they've experienced. But initially, I would say they're really not clear on, you know, the day-to-day struggles of some of the students in the classroom.
What's it like when two students become aware that they live in two different worlds, Joy?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. They're at this age, 11, 12, 13, where the personal stuff they don't necessarily share with the teacher. I know that when I have discussions with students and I let them know that I'm aware of their situation, they're appreciative when I explain to them that there are certain concessions and certain things we're going to do differently hopefully with the same outcome, because I understand what their current situation is. And we're talking about extreme cases like displacement, students who have lost their homes, students who have lost parents.
To both of you, how do you think poverty impedes education for Americans who are learning this statistic that over half of students are in poverty in the United States? Larry?
Well, I think it just creates many, many more challenges for our students to learn.
And in your case, Joy?
I wouldn't say that it would impede, because I've actually worked with students who have had far less and a greater percentage of students who are in poverty than I'm dealing with now. I have a job to do and I have to get it done. And these kids are entitled to an education.
To both of you, before we go, can you tell me the story of an individual student without using their name who you felt might be slipping behind that you weren't able to reach given all of the swirl and turmoil that was happening around them, Larry?
There are many students who I wish I had been able to reach a little bit more. And many students just disappear, you know, and move, and I don't know what ends up happening with them. I mean, I just think it's important to recognize that, you know, though our students are living in a low-income situation, they are just as intelligent and have as much potential as anyone else. And the question is trying to figure out a way to reach that.
Joy?
I'm thinking about a particular student, and the student, they came to my class, you know, mid-year and couldn't really communicate verbally in English. Some of the kids did try to, you know, like support the student and so forth. But at the end of the day, because he was living in a shelter, it was difficult for him to get back and forth to school. He was being shuttled from another county. And when the school year started up again, I just didn't see him. And it was just a struggle to try to keep him on track when he's showing up, you know, 10 o'clock and school starts at 8:15 and he might not have eaten breakfast. And, you know, you can't really have a conference with the parents because when they're brought in, the parents aren't allowed to use the transportation with them. It's the child only. It was madness. And I felt really bad. And when coming back this year, I was hoping that he would still be in the school and possibly, you know, his family would have found decent housing. But that wasn't the case. And to this day, I have no idea where he is.
Well, let's all say a prayer for that student out there. And so many young people who are trapped in the circumstances of poverty as a distraction for their education. Consequences we'll all be dealing with in our communities around the United States. Joy DePalm, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Joy DePalm is a sixth grade teacher at the Boston Teachers Union Pilot School in Boston, Massachusetts. And Larry Furlazzo, thanks so much to you.
And thank you for the invitation.
Larry Furlazzo is an English and social studies teacher at Luther Burbank High School in Sacramento, California.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.